So one of you came to me and asked me afterwards, I hear what you're saying about strifes, but is there a way that we can avoid strifing besides walking away? And then I started thinking about this and I thought, maybe if we become educated about the things that causes a strife, it will help many of us to do better. Would you agree with me? So, we already know that when we are strifing, the devil is fooling around with us and have us at his will, doing his errands. Are we together? Today I want to go quick with you over things that bumps strife. Proverbs chapter 13. Verse 10 gives us one of the first things that can bring up strife. Watch this. Read it with me. By insolence comes nothing but with those who take advice is wisdom. Now, may I please have the NLT, Brother Harry, please? Pride leads to conflict, but those who take advice are wise. Backslide the translation real quick. Arrogant know-it-alls stir up discord, but wise men and women listen to each other's counsel. So what's the point? One of the greatest sources of strife is insolence. Or, at the same time, arrogance. None of us know all. Can I have an amen here? Amen. None of us know all. And you know, there are some type of people over there that you just can't talk to them. You know, they will know all at all time. And if you do not have wisdom, you may end up in a strife. Yes. And this is what Paul was saying in 2 Timothy, avoid foolish strife. There are people that they know everything. Have you ever met somebody that is never wrong? It's always somebody else's fault. You know what I'm talking about? They are never, ever, ever, ever wrong. They will find a way to blame somebody else, and they always know everything. This kind of person is very easy for you to butt heads with, and a strife just come up. And this is what the devil wants. Because once the strife takes place, we are out there doing his errands. We are held captive by him, and we are there doing his errands. So one of the things that we can avoid is, I don't think that none of you here knows it all. If the adventure would be one here, let's tune down a little bit. You know, there may be somebody that knows a little bit more than you in certain areas, but we don't know it all. And we should, this is why when you go to 2 Timothy again, it says the servant of God must be apt to learn, because not everybody knows it all. But insolence, you know, is one of the major causes of strife. We can avoid it. So I'm not an insolent person. I'm not an arrogant person. Great. But if you meet somebody along the way that knows everything, it is very arrogant and insolent, the best thing you can do is just walk away. You know, tune down. Just settle down. It's not worth. It's not worth being as a puppet in the hand of the devil. Just be butting heads with somebody that knows everything. Are you with me? Another thing that we find, according to 1 Corinthians 3:3, is that one of the sources of insolence is carnality. Read it with me. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy, and strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Strife is a sign of carnality. One may ask, why would the Bible say that strife is carnality? It means that I am carnal, that I'm on the flesh. Because we don't know it all. And even if we did, and there's somebody there that thinks they know more than we do, if we are dumb enough to butt heads, we come down from where we are into their same level of carnality. Are you with me here? So another source of strife. Another source of strife is carnality, when people are living on the flesh more than in the spirit. Well, these are stuff that we can avoid. You know, it is going to always be difficult for you to control the way that other people behave. Can I have an amen here?
Amen.
So what do we do? Again, walk away. If you find a carnal brother or a carnal sister, that is always envying what you have, you know, that is always trying to cause division, you know that person is in the flesh. Run away. Stay away. If you stick around long enough, you're going to end up in a strife. Bam, the devil got you. And we're not going to give him this pleasure. Are we together so far? When we go for places like Proverbs 13:10, another source of, 16, well, once you're here, by insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. The one that I want was 16:28, I'm sorry. According to Proverbs 16:28, another source of strife is dishonesty. Read it with me. A dishonest man spreads out strife. Another source of strife is dishonesty. I mean, how many of us? Let me give you a simple example here. You have a so-called Christian friend that has a vehicle for sale, and you are in a dire need of a vehicle. That Christian friend of yours knows that the transmission of that thing is about to give up. And then you pass by and you see for sale and you call, "Hey brother, hey sis, how are you? Fine. Is that car yours?" "Yes." "And it's for sale?" "Yes." "Oh, okay, I'm interested." And then they come over. "How much is it?" "Well, for you, you know, you're a church brother or sister, give him $1,000. Just for you to drive away, and a week later the transmission is gone. Then when you call back, what do you expect? To pay $1,000 for the car? Then you need another $4,000 to put a transmission in. This is dishonesty. Are you with me? And this is a very, very good source of strife. Because you're going to get angry. "I don't have $4,000 to put a transmission on a car." And then you go after the guy that says, "Well, you paid $1,000. What do you expect?" And there's a strife. Bam, the devil got you. Are you with me here? Dishonesty is a source of a strife. Now you might ask, "Well, brother, I'm actually in this predicament right now. So what do I do?" Ask God before you buy. Should I buy this thing? Well, God didn't answer. Then don't buy it. Don't buy it. The Bible says in Romans 15, I think it's verse 7, whatever doesn't come out of faith is a sin. So don't go and give $1,000 for something that it might give you problem down the road. Dishonesty is another source of strife. Okay, anything else, preacher? Oh, you better believe there is. Proverbs 17:1 says the following. Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full feasting with strife. We know many times of people that they absolutely enjoy picking a fight. Am I the only one who know people like this? Anybody else, do you know somebody like this? There are people that they enjoy picking a fight with you. Well, there's a birthday in my house. Why don't you come along? Happy birthday, brother. Thank you so much. Send a card in the mail. Stay away from it. Why didn't you come? I could not attend. You're not lying. You didn't want to attend because of the strife that you knew it's coming up. Are you with me? That's another way to avoid the strife. And you know, a lot of people will not pay attention to little details like this in life. I mean, come on, these are basic things that everybody knows. Oh, preacher, but you don't know. His wife cooks so good. She cooks so good. And I ain't got much in my kitchen this week until I get my next check. Okay, then go to a house full of strife and enjoy the food and the strife along with it. Folks, there's an old say that says, you better learn to pick your fights. And sometimes we don't know how to pick our fights. I mean, if you know that going to that party you have a strifeful person, stay away from it. I'm hungry. Fast for that day. Fast never hurts anybody. But avoid a house full of feasting with strife. Some people can't quite understand how bad the strife can get. Listen to Proverbs 17:14. Watch this. This is how bad strife can get. And this is just the beginning. How many of you saw in the news that on the Carolinas, they were put in bags of sand, and now in the Dakotas, they are put in bags of sand along the river, not Dakota, Iowa, along the river because the dam is about to burst and flood the whole town, and people will lose their houses, their cars, and everything else. He says, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. What does that mean? The idea here is like when you have a dam that is full of water, and then there's so much water that the dam starts giving away, and then once it breaks down, the whole water is let out, which will flood a whole town. Are you following me here? He said the same things with the strife. Strife is like the letting of the water. Well, what do? Quit. Why? If you don't quit, the quarrel will start. The fight will come. Bam, the devil gets you again. Are you with me so far? These are things that we can do to avoid being a puppet in the hands of the devil. Now, there are people that they call themselves Christians. They are in church, and yet they love to be crooked. They love crooked ways. They love crooked things. In Proverbs 17:19, just five verses down this one here, we read the following. Proverbs 17:19. Whoever loves transgression loves the strife. He who makes his door high seeks destruction. I don't understand. What does he mean by that? Easy. Brother Harry, give me the New Living Translation here. Anyone who loves to quarrel loves to sin. Anyone who trusts in high walls invites disasters. Backslider translation, please. The person who courts sin Mary's trouble. Build a wall, invite a burglar. So I don't understand what you're trying to say, preacher. Whoever loves transgression, whoever loves to have a crooked way of living, you are inviting strife. Plain and simple. So there are a few things that we can avoid, few crooked ways. If you owe, if you made $100 extra, tell the government you did it. Because they'll find out one way or the other. They may not find right now, but it will catch up. The Bible says, and you should know that your sin shall find you out. Amen. And people make it a habit. I know a man, he used to come and do some work for us. And then one day, by law, this man gets help from the government. I had to get Brother Donald to start work with us. And if you get help from the government, you cannot go beyond $2,000 undeclared. I told him, from now on, I have to give you I think it's $10.99. Anytime that the church pays you, I write a check. At the end of the year, I'm going to give you a $10.99. I don't want it. Then I can't have you working here. Why? I said, because this is what the law requires for us to do. Well, I've been doing this all my life. More power to you. Back and forth, back and forth. The person left here upset. And guess what? 6 months later, got a letter from the IRS. You owe us $9,000 on taxes. He came here, can you help me? What do you mean, can I help you? I don't work for the IRS. I need some help to pay this. You're doing this all your life, and you come here now and want us to pay your taxes? Are you out of your mind? So Brother Donald came to work. He said, Donald, you know the gig. Up to $2,000, the government lets you get away with it. Going beyond this, you're going to have a 1099. Oh, boy. Do I have to have this? He said, yes, you do. Because if I don't, they're going to come after me. And between me and you, I'd rather come after you. He came in and he helped with this. You know, he was working with Ted. At the end of the year, Donald made $19,000. I said, wow. So I wrote him a 1099. He goes, are you sure I made all this? So I get a copy of every check we wrote him. I mean, they were working from 6 in the morning till midnight when we were doing this. And he was getting overtime too. All right? When I gave him his first check, I said, make sure that you put aside 40% of this money.
Why?
Uncle Sam is coming after you.
What? Can't you give me cash?
No, 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 no. No. If you can't do it, I'll get a contractor to do it.
All right, all right, all right.
He didn't keep 40% as I told him to do. At the end of the year, you went to declare taxes. And he said, I was hesitating to bring that 1099. But he did it anyway. Guess what? They told him, you either pay the taxes for this, or you're going to take it from the help that you get from the government.
I'll pay.
How much was it? 31% of what he made went to Uncle Sam. Close to $6,000. I said, see? You do have the money, right?
Yeah, I'm just short $100.
What do you mean short $100? Did I tell you to keep 40% of this?
Yeah, but I need to help somebody.
Ha! Finally, he paid the government. When people love to do things on the wrong way, eventually that's going to catch up with you. The person who courts sin marries trouble. Are you with me here? And this is where the strife comes. May I have the ESV again, Brother Harry, please? Whoever loves transgression loves strife. When we are lived on a crooked way, you better believe that's going to be a strife. And if it's a strife between you and the government, you always lose. So we act wisely. Amen? We act wise. Because we don't want to be found or caught in the middle of a strife. When we are in a strife, we become an easy target to that punk, low-life, good-for-nothing, stupid idiot called devil. In Proverbs 22, verse 10, there's something else interesting about strife. Watch this. Proverbs 22, 10. Drive out a scoffer. And so what you're saying? He's saying that scoffers and quarreling people can bring up strife. At one point somebody was coming to our church. And every time that person would come, there is always a point of contention. I think that you should do this, this, that, and the other. So I kind of said, I'm going to ask you that starting now and the end of the service, please excuse yourself and do not come back here ever again. You cannot do that. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, yes, I can. You want to try me? Why are you treating me like this? I said, every time that you come here is to make trouble. Let me say something very simple for you. I don't care about what you think. Yes. I don't care about what you think. One, you're not a member here. Two, you haven't been trained to do this job. Three, you haven't been called by God and you're not in charge of this place. So what you think, I don't care. So instead of quarreling, get out and stay out. If you come back, I'm going to call the cops and you're going to be arrested for disorderly conduct. He say, drive out a scoffer. And the strife will go out. I have found parents that end up in hospital, having a stroke, because have a child or a relative that is always fighting about something, always quarreling about something. Get them out! They don't have a place to go. There's public shelter. They don't want to go to a public shelter. Then shut up! Whose name is on the deed? Is it yours? No, then shut up. Go with the flow. If you can't go, there's the door. Drive out a scoffer, and the strife will go out. Folks, the devil will try every single way he can. And I'm showing you all this scripture just to let you know, the devil will try, he'll go to length to bring strife. Because he knows that when the strife comes, got you. And you're going to be enslaved to do his errands. So we act proactively. Now I know it's rough for you to tell somebody, don't come to church. But when you come to church to cause a strife, stay out. I don't need you here. And I always tell people, I want to be a member. I always say, stay for 3 months. Sometimes 6 months. Why? Just sit down and enjoy yourself for 3-6 months. After you see what is going on here, and you're sure that God wants you here, then we'll receive you. But if God is not bringing you, I don't want you here. I already have a lot of headache as it is, dealing with the friends of a friend who gave me a number for you to pray for a friend that is not a believer, don't like to go to church, is cussing God and has cancer and demands to be healed. Are you with me here? Drive out a scoffer and the strife will go out. Watch this. May I have the NLT here, brother, please? I love this. Throw out the mocker and fight the ghost too. Quarrel and insults will disappear. Are you with me here?
Yes.
A scoffer will bring not only mockery or quarreling and insults, you know, it will cause us to join in a fight unnecessary. And watch this, it gets even worse. Oh, sweet, put it this way. May I have the backslide translation? A little crazy, but worth reading. Kick out the troublemakers, and things will quiet down. You need a break from bickering and gripping. So, for those of you that were looking to me like if I had three heads, I was doing what the Bible told me to do.
Amen.
Kick out the troublemakers. I didn't put that in the Bible. The Bible did. Well, you cannot kick people out of the church. You better believe I can. Now, the King James says, throw them out. Now, this one here is better. Kick them out. And things will quiet down. So what you're saying? I'm not saying, God is saying that scoffers will bring strife. Now, a lot of things people doesn't understand. Recently, somebody asked, is that a board of elders here? I said, no. Is that a board of deacons? No. Is that a church or directory here? No. Who ruled this place? Jesus. Okay, I'm talking like humans. So Jesus rules here. I'm not talking about spiritual. So I'm not talking about spiritual either. So who makes decision? Jesus. Okay. And how do the people know? They will have a witness. But doesn't somebody supposed to tell the people, yes, I do. So you rule the show? No. I don't run any show. This is not a show. It's a place of worship.
Yes.
And whatever the master wants, he'll let us know.
Yes.
And we pass on to the people. And the people will have the witness that God is speaking to them.
Amen.
Well, you know, we are a democratic country. I said, we are a godly church. What? You say we are a democratic country. Amen for that. Although I wish you would be a Republican country, but we are a democratic country. But we are a godly church.
Amen.
Well, you know, I think it's not in the Bible. It's okay. Here's the Bible. Show me where in the Bible tells me about a deacon's board, elder's board, church board. So, well, the Bible says in the book of Acts, and it appeared good to the Holy Spirit and to us to separate Paul and Silas to the work God has called them. I said, okay. And here we go. Here we go where? Here. Here's the board. So, okay. And it appears good to whom? To them. Read the scripture again. It appears good to the Holy Spirit. Okay, go on. And to us, what appeared good to the Holy Spirit to them? To separate Paul and Silas. For what? For the work of missions. What? So you're reading your Bible and you even don't know what you're reading. If you ask about a mission committee, yes, let's have a mission committee. What is a mission committee? It's a group of people in the church that you have a witness from the Holy Spirit that somebody is supposed to be separated to go on and preach the gospel. That is biblical. Anything else is fake. Because the church is not a democracy. The church is a theocracy. What is the problem with democracy? With democracy, you have scoffers. What? Yes. Look at Dallas. It's a democracy. People have the right to demonstrate. And then on the demonstration, somebody went and shot 5 cops. Are you with me so far? So what you're saying? Kick out the troublemakers and things will quiet down. And this is why, in our congregation, I still have a group of people that I respond to because I want to. It's not that, well, the preacher has the hand on the cookie jar and nobody knows. Well, if you're that greedy, that nitty-gritty, go to downtown church. My point in here is this. Anytime that somebody comes to church to make troubles, anytime comes to your house to make troubles, you will end up having a strife. And once you have a strife, Satan got you by the hand. Not only got you by the hand, it says that he will have you captive to do his errands. Therefore, we avoid the strife. In every simple, every shape and form. We avoid the strife in the house. We avoid the strife in the church. We avoid the strife in the job. We avoid the strife on the streets. Why? This is a powerful weapon that the devil used to keep God's people ineffective, under bondage, and doing his errands. Kick out the troublemakers and things will quiet down. Watch this. Brother Harry, give me the Holman Christian Standard Bible, please. Drive out a mocker, and the conflict goes too. Then lawsuits and dishonor will cease. There are people suing churches today. Lawsuit against churches. I know of a person, I know the person, I mean, not like friends, but I've seen the person twice or three times. God bless you, God bless you. This person, there was a building fund on their church. And the person came in, put $2,000 on the building fund. Well, when the pastor thought he had enough money to buy the property, the owner of the building doubled the price. So he couldn't buy the property right away. Well, he made a mistake by giving a date when they would buy the property. And it wasn't bought. That very same person who gave $2,000 came and said, I want my money back. What? I want my money back. Which money? I gave $2,000 for the building fund. I want it back. You didn't buy no building. Like I said, I'm not going to give you any money. You gave it to the Lord. Yes, but the Lord has not benefited. Person took the church to court. On the day of the hearing, a dump truck hit her car and totaled it because she went over a red light. Worst of all, she had no insurance. And the dump truck said, look at my fender, it's scratched. Now you're talking about solid steel in those big dump truck against a little Japanese car. God spared her life. She couldn't make to the trial hearing. For the hearing. Pastor Santos, can you pray for me? Do I know you, ma'am? I'm so and so and so and so and so and so. I don't recall. You met me at such and such and such place. Ah, okay. The Lord says she's crooked. So I ask her, what you up to? Well, I was just involved in an accident. Okay. Could you tell me more details? Well, I was going to court and I was in a hurry, I was a little late. And the light was green and then it went straight to red. So, county's fault. How dare they don't take care of these lights? So what happened? A dump truck hit my car. It's all total and now I don't have a transportation. So, well, maybe you're going to put your hands in a bag full of money. You're going to court, you said? Ticket? Said, no, I sued the church. I'm thinking, and you call in a church to pray for you. Is there anything wrong with this picture here? Well, you don't understand. I gave $2,000 to the building fund and they didn't buy the building. Now all my money back. What? Father, give understand to this poor soul. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, sis. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Why you're not going to pray for me to get a car? No. If I pray for you to get a car and you don't get the car that you want, you're going to sue me for having the wrong prayer. Drive out a mocker. And conflict goes too. So what you're saying? Don't put up with nonsense. Fight. Don't put up with nonsense strife. Get out. I can't get out. Then get them out. I do not understand. My daughter, she's giving me a hell of a time. She won't listen. Get her out on the streets. She ain't got no place to go. Okay, there's public shelters. I'm not going to send my daughter to the public shelter. Then keep the strife in your house. And the devil will have you at his will. Am I making sense here? Yeah. Preacher, are you done? Almost. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 26, verse 20, there's a very interesting scripture. Proverbs 26, 20. Watch this. Read it with me. Without wood, fire goes out. Without gossip, another way to avoid strife, avoid gossip. Another way to avoid strife, avoid gossip. Without wood, fire goes out. Without a gossip, strife dies down. May I have the English Standard Version, brother? For the lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Strife ceases. So what you're saying? I'm not saying. It says in here, where there's no gossip, there's no strife. Yes. Some of you get some friends. Did you hear about Sister Mavis? So before you start hearing about Sister Mavis, stop. Okay. Before you say anything, let's pray for Sister Mavis. Who's going to pray? You. Why? You're not about to talk about Sister Mavis, right? So if there's something wrong with her before I hear anything, I want you to pray for Sister Mavis before we can continue to talk. You know, Father, what Sister Mavis is doing? Amen. Amen. So let me tell you. No, I don't want to hear because you already told God, so God already took care of it. Let's move on. Are you with me here? If there's no gossip, strife dies down. Watch this. Backslide the translation, please. Watch this. When you run out of wood, the fire goes out. When the gossip ends, the quarrel dies down. We don't want to get involved in a strife, because a strife will have you doing the devil's errands, and will keep you captive as a slave. And we don't want that nonsense to be happening to us, do we? Listen to the next verse. Proverbs 26, 21. Next verse. Read it with me. A quarrelsome person in a dispute So what you're saying? Avoid this kind of people that are always fussing about something. The New Living Translation put it better. Watch this. A quarrelsome person starts fight as easily as hot embers light charcoal or fire lights wood. Are we together here? So we're going to avoid the strife by avoiding people that like to be quarreling for anything. Are we together so far? Now, even the nearly inspired version gets it right. So I think God wants to say something. Watch this. As charcoal to ember and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Even these people get it. Are you with me here? So what you're saying? Get rid of the quarrelsome person. But I can't because it's my husband. So he starts quarreling. You walk away. Where are you going? I'm going to go for a ride. Why? I'm talking. No, you're not talking. You're quarreling. So I'm going to go for a ride. I'll be back. When? When you cool off. You know your spouse better than anybody else. You know how long it will take for him to cool off. You come home, start quarreling again. So I'm leaving again. What? I'm leaving again. Where are you going? I'm going out until you cool off your jets. Quarrelsome people will kindle a strife in a heartbeat. Are we together here? That's why it says, kick out the troublemakers, and the quarreling goes down. And you know, it gets even better. Another thing that will stir up strife is being around greedy people. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 25, the ESV put this better than anybody else. Proverbs 28, 25. Read it with me. You get that? Now let's go through a few versions. I want you to get this. Over here, the New King James call it proud of heart. ESV, please. When I saw that scripture, I said, this thing don't make no sense. This is one of the points where the King James is a little weak. What? That don't make any sense. So I go to the Hebrew to look. And this is the best translation in Hebrew. A greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched. We are not going to fight with the greedy. Why? Because God is the source of our riches. Are you with me here? God is the source of our riches. So we're not going to be butting heads with greedy people. Now, there are people that are greedy by nature. So what do? Avoid them. Well, brother, then I'm going to avoid the whole world. Good! Good. You've got us. We got us. And if there's anybody greedy in church, we pray for them and cast out the spirit of greediness. And life goes on. Amen? When you're surrounded by greedy people, you will end up in a strife. And the biggie with strife is that it will drive you away from your health. It will drive you away from your God. And the worst of all, it will transfer the rulership from God's hands to the devil's hands. This is how bad strife is. What? It will transfer the rulership from God's hand to the devil's hand. So what is the conclusion to all this, preacher? Let's go back real quick. Time is over. To 2 Timothy. Start on verse 2:23. And I'm done with strife. Read it with me. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they gender strife. Are we together so far?
Yes.
You and I are invited to avoid. Say avoid.
Avoid.
I will avoid.
I will avoid.
Now let's go to the New Living Translation. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only starts fights or strife. So, avoid. So, don't get involved. Avoid. Don't get involved. Are we together here? I'm giving you different words. Same scripture on the backslide of translation. Refuse to get involved. Are we getting this together this morning? In inane discussions, they will always end up in fight. Now, the Holman Christian Standard Bible says something interesting. But reject. Is that right? Foolish and ignorant dispute, knowing that they breed quarrels. So he says, avoid, don't get involved, refuse, reject to get involved with strife. Are we together so far? And then he teaches you how to do it. Verse 24. The Lord's slave must not be strifeful or quarrelsome. He must be gentle to everyone, able to teach, and patient. And sometimes you need a lot of patience when you're dealing with foolish people that want to cause a strife for every little something. You know what I mean? Sometimes, my Lord. And the problem with the strife is that it will cause high blood pressure. It may lead to a stroke, a heart attack, and it can actually kill somebody. When people live a life full of fight and strife, you'll be lamed because your body will respond to the high tension that strife brings. Then he goes on, verse 25. Instructing his opponents with gentleness. A strife will start always with somebody opposing the truth, and in many cases opposing you. So instead of being mad and start quarreling, start fighting, instruct your opponents with gentleness. Why should I do that? Perhaps God will grant them repentance to know the truth. Now watch this. May I have the New Living Translation, Brother Harry, here? Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's heart and they will learn the truth. Did you notice that the work to change other people's heart is not ours? Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Perhaps God will change their way of thinking. When you have a hard-headed, or you have a quarrelsome person that likes to butt heads, forget it. You're not going to convince them. When it comes between the spouses, you know, wife, that you are not going to change that dude. You've been married for 30, 40 years. You know better than this. Avoid this strife. Well, he will never listen. Duh. You haven't learned that yet? I mean, come on now. Well, it's my wife. This woman is so stubborn, preacher. Welcome to the club. You won't be able to convince people. And when you start fighting, you will lose. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. That's it. Don't try to convince people. If your spouse thinks that he's supposed to go to church on Saturday, you're going to have a hard time convincing him to go on Sunday. Should have thought about that before you got married. Or you're going to have to go to church twice. Which is never too much, although you're going to be hearing a lot of heresy. Watch this. Backslider translation, Brother Harry. Working firmly, but patiently with those who refuse to obey. It doesn't mean that you have to be slack. It doesn't mean that you have to give up the truth. Firm, but patiently, not arrogantly. You never know how or when God might sober them up with a change of heart. Are you getting that? The change of heart doesn't come with a strife. And turning to the truth. Now, verse 26. You and I don't want to go down on the path of strife. When God changed the person's heart, and if you are the strife, one, allow God to change your heart. People that like to strive, they are trapped by Satan. And if they can drag you in, the devil got you. Enabling them to escape the devil's trap, where they are caught and held captive. That's not all. They are forced to run the devil's errands. Did I say anything more? So what's the conclusion, preacher? Avoid, run away, escape, do everything that you can not to get involved in the strife. Anyone who is involved in the strife, constantly putting aside the physical damages, is being held in the devil's trap, is being held captive, and is being forced to run the devil's errand. That means that the strifeful people lost or gave away the control of their lives to the other guy, instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is bad enough. And once this idiot here takes over, he's not gentle, meek in his spirit. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy everything we have. In other words, may I have the New Living Translation? When people are entrapped, they will lose their happiness, they will lose their health, they will lose the closeness with families and friends. Run away from strife. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. Strife is a trap from the devil to destroy our lives. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever the devil wants. Now, last time I checked, we are the people of God, right? And we want to do what God wants. Is that correct? Amen. Don't give away your freedom. Don't give away the lordship of your life. Please. Don't give away your health. There's no need for you to have a stroke, high blood pressure. There is no need for you to have a stroke, high blood pressure, heart attack, because you're constantly fighting. Give up strife and live a happier life under the leadership of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Amen.